procrastination.
I know I didn't really get done what I was supposed to get done today, but
half of the people are just like you.
I'm gonna walk out in triumph. Gucci.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Dealing with difficult employees.
They have a bad attitude.
You know if your manager thinks you're the difficult employee.
Hey, did something change? Has the deadline changed?
Let me tell you what the verdict was. What up, homies?
Hey, homies.
So today's episode is about dealing with difficult employees. And I feel like, Bemetra, you're really excited about this episode.
I am because, you know, my struggle has been real with the support staff. And even when I think I get somebody that's good, it goes, what, to the left. And so I am really excited about the feedback we're going to get from the homies and getting my 18 years of less than perfect and good support staff frustration out in this podcast. So let's get it.
Work it out now. Okay, so this episode was born from Facebook, actually. So this someone, we got a comment or a message asking us about, you know, what do I do when I have support staff that doesn't support me? Difficult employees, I think, are something that everyone who's ever had a team work for them has been confronted with or had to deal with. You know, I will say, even if you're not willing to call the employee difficult, I definitely think that people can acknowledge that they've had employees that were not so great. And so we want to talk about sort of some of our experiences with them, and then more importantly, give you some tips on how to overcome or to deal with them. So I'm going to let you jump it off, Demetra, since you're so
well, I guess, you know, I will start with having challenging people to work with is not created equal. Sometimes people are challenging to work with because they don't do what they say, or they don't come to work on time, or they have a lot of grammatical mistakes and errors and misspellings in their work. Sometimes people are difficult to deal with because they have a bad attitude. Sometimes people are difficult to deal with because they think they are smarter than they are and they're not coachable. So I think that's why it makes having, you know, dealing with difficult coworkers, support staff, what have you, is a challenging thing for people to deal with, because it can mean different things for different coworkers.
Yes. And I think that's right. And I think the most important thing you said there first is you have to sort of identify why the employee or the assistant or staff person is difficult, right? What is the genesis of the challenge? And then more importantly, are you going to try to handle it internally, or are you going to complain to the powers that be?
So just to give you an example of what I mean by that is, I had an assistant one time where I asked her if we were going to be able to get, you know, some loan documents prepared for a client. Like, say today is Wednesday. And I said, hey, are we going to be able to get those loan docs done by Friday? And she said, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future. And you were like, what? And so, you know, your initial reaction is to respond just as a person, not as a professional. Just like, who does she think she's talking to? You know, where do they do that at? I mean, how do you say that to HR? Like, she was getting smart with me. You know, like, so it, because
well, I think the word is insubordinate.
But then when you start calling somebody insubordinate and talking to HR, now you're talking about messing with someone's career. So I've had the challenge of trying to like provide constructive criticism that me and this person can work out, and then figuring out, is it that? Or is this something that we need to go down a more formal route and start documenting to move to like a disciplinary action standpoint? And then I've had just the kind of the person that's just overall, you know, obnoxious. I think that's the easiest thing to deal with, because that's more of a behavioral thing. And that's not necessarily like an attitude or competency thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the first thing I try to do, and I definitely have had my fair share of difficult employees as well, because I'm so irritated, and that's usually what has initially happened when I have a difficult employee, is I'm irritated. So I feel like when I'm irritated, I have one or two responses I either completely ignore the person or I can either be hyper focused on everything that they do. I usually want to step back, like you said, and get a more clear understanding of why I think we're having the challenge so that then I can focus on the behavior instead of the way I'm feeling about their behavior.
Yeah. So I know for me, the first thing that I do is basically turn into daddy. And I'm like, ask a question. Hey, in a very low, calm voice. How do you think the so-and-so went? Or what did you think about the such and such meeting? And try to get them talking so I can figure out, did they think that everything went great?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm saying even before I get into that meeting, I have a conversation sort of with myself. Like, am I irritated because of their attitude? Am I irritated because of the work product? So that I'm real clear on what it is that I am finding to be the unacceptable behavior. And that way, I feel like if I'm clear, I'll be able to clearly communicate that back to them when it's time to give the feedback. Because I feel like the first tip I have, or the second tip after getting clear on what's the genesis, is being able to give clear feedback to the person of what the issue is, long before anybody else gets involved.
Essentially, we're saying the same thing, but we're doing it a little differently. And because I'm going to ask them a question about what it is that they think happened or how they think things went, because I have a habit of jumping in and cutting people off, is making myself...
You do? Yeah. You cut people off when they talking.
It's verbal double dutch around here. So yeah, you gotta get in. You gotta get in. So one of the things that I do is literally say to myself, I'm going to ask them this question and I'm not gonna say anything. I'm gonna let them talk until there is a comfortable pause. Because sometimes I found that when I actually do get the other person talking, that it's not even about what's going on at work. There's something else that is going on that's driving this behavior.
No, I think that's a great point. I feel like feedback is extremely difficult to give. It's even more difficult to receive. I find that even the toughest litigator, the most heart-driven salesperson, the guy even sometimes sitting in the C-suite, or the lady that's the first blah, blah, blah in the C-suite, still have trouble giving feedback. I think we all want to be liked. We know that everyone else wants to be liked. And so we don't want to be the person to say to you, because we feel like what we're essentially saying to you is, I don't like you, and people don't want to have that. But I do think this, when you're managing people, or even when you're being managed. So I think this podcast can help you, not only if you are someone that has to deal with difficult employees, but if your manager is deeming you, and you, like, don't lie to yourself, homies, you know, if your manager thinks you're the difficult employee. And I think this podcast can be helpful if you know that your manager perceives you as a difficult employee. I think that great managers learn to give feedback reasonably well, then know how to get the employee to receive it.
That's a great point about how challenging it is to give, you know, good feedback, and how it's difficult to do. I heard something earlier in my career about the sandwich feedback, positive, negative, positive. And then I was given a book when I got promoted the first time to be in my first leadership role, called Managerial Courage by Harry Hornstein. And it was great because it talked about getting that courage to be a good leader, to be a good manager. You had to have the courage to give people difficult feedback, and how to do that, and how when you don't do it, you're actually making the team worse and making your circumstances worse. So we'll put that out in the corporate homie on the website.
Sure.
But the Managerial Courage by Harry Hornstein was really helpful to me in my career. I still use a lot of those tips today.
And I think that if you're an employee and you know that your manager is perceiving you as difficult, maybe you've heard it through the grapevine, or they making snide remarks or whatever, go and seek the feedback. There's nothing wrong with going to your manager and saying, look, I got the sense that that project did not go in the way that you wanted. I did not think that you were pleased with how that went. And I wanted to talk to you about my role in that and how we could make that better. I think that is incredibly helpful. On the other side of that,
I found that to be, it is a difficult conversation because you don't know how raw and honest the person on the other side of the table is going to be. But I will say, when I have gotten the courage to do that, even as a manager, to say, when I felt like I wasn't communicating with an employee, and I'll say, how can I be a better leader to you? What feedback do you have for me? If you can get outside of your comfort zone to do that, it can really have an exponentially positive change to your career trajectory.
Right. So the next point I have about managing difficult employees is be consistent. So you know, if you have a report that's due every Thursday at 5 o'clock, but sometimes they get it to you at 5:20 and you're okay. But then sometimes they get it to you at 5:20 and you're mad because this time you needed the information because you had to leave early and blah, blah, blah. That's not going to work. You have got to be consistent. If you say you're not okay with the behavior, then don't ever be okay with the behavior. Don't sometimes be okay with the behavior because that's confusing to the person who supports you. I think it's confusing when the person doesn't know that the report is always due, whether I'm in the office. I mean, that's one of the things I said in our podcast about procrastination, that I have a weekly huddle. Well, my team understands that we have the weekly huddle every Monday at 10 a.m., whether I'm in the office or not. So the rule is that we huddle in person if I'm in, and if I'm on the road, we huddle over the conference call line so that we're consistent. There's no mistake that everybody has to be ready for the huddle at 10 a.m. on Monday.
Yeah, and I would say that consistency works both ways. So you have to be consistent with delivering the report. And then if you're in the leadership role, you're a homie that's a leader and the person isn't delivering the report on time, then there has to be consequences for that person not being consistent. And that's got to be the same for everyone on your team. You know, you can't pick and choose when you're going to have, oh, well, it was okay this time. So I think that consistency deal works both ways. And then I would funnel that directly into consequences. If somebody is not meeting deadlines or what have you, then, you know, you're going to have to do that. I had a boss one time who never came to anything on time. And it was really annoying because we were always sitting around waiting for him and he wasn't there. I finally asked him, hey, should we stop scheduling meetings early in the morning? And is it better for us to schedule meetings for you mid-morning, early afternoon? Because I know how busy you are and I don't want you to feel rushed when we only have a little bit of time left when you come late. So it was a polite way of saying, you don't ever come on time, because you can't say that to your boss, but you got to be able to speak to the consequences.
Yes, I think consequences absolutely matter, because otherwise they won't be able to turn their situation around. I think that's also when you know that you're getting towards an end date. Like, you have to say to people, if I don't see some change in your behavior, blah, blah, it's going to be tight on you, or whatever that means.
I totally agree with that. What annoys me is when people email you and it's the day before the deadline. It's like, I haven't missed the deadline. Leave me alone.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Well, and I will say this, when you have a manager like that, and this is sort of, we talked a little bit about this too in the procrastination episode, that I try to, when I work with people like that, and I know they're like that, now I try to get ahead of them with the deadline. I'm like, so is it okay to have this to you by Friday at noon? So that way they're not emailing me Thursday at 5 o'clock, because we already have set the deadline.
So what I'll say is, if they email me ahead of time, hey, did something change? Has the deadline changed?
In other words, the Friday at noon deadline.
Right. It's translation of get off of me. Like, I haven't missed it.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Right. Fall back. Fall back.
In my South Memphis voice.
Right. We're still working on that Friday at noon deadline. Right, Tim? Right, Jim? Right, Bob? Give me 50 feet. Right. Bag. Right. So the next one is, I'm a big believer in, I like to talk to my own people and my own team and give us a chance. All of these tips are before we're working through any type of process. I try to treat people the way that I want to be treated. So I don't want somebody throwing something in my review or running to HR when I didn't even know it was a problem. Like, I didn't know that coming in 10 minutes late was a problem for them. So if they have a problem with that, tell me so I can fix it. Then when I, like I said, you give them the hard deadline to set the consequences. If I don't see a change in your behavior by the end of first quarter, this is going to be an issue. So then when April 1st starts, and they 10 minutes late, I'm like, now it's time to work through the company's process. And then I meet with them and I say, look, we had talked about this. We were going to give you the first quarter to try to turn this behavior around. You haven't been able to do that. And so now we're going to need to document this with HR. We're going to need to go ahead and work through the company's process on this.
I'm a avid note taker, period. And even in the huddle, I had to do it last week at work. And I said, hey, when we met last Friday, we discussed XYZ. We didn't get there. If that happens again, this is what's going to happen. So I feel like it's only fair to give people a preview of coming attraction. And when you reference the last meeting, they know, hey, this person is taking notes. And then that will help you if and when you have to go through the HR process. Say, I'm an avid note taker. And I would say document, 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 even if it's just for your own personal deal. Because sometimes, like we talked about on a previous podcast, you can only remember the most recent behavior, especially if you're agitated, annoyed, if something big is happening, you've missed a big deadline or something that somebody on your team did is making your job more difficult. And sometimes it's good to go back to your notes on that particular coworker and know this is not a new problem. I've been having these challenges with somebody. I had to send her 7 emails about grammatical errors or spelling errors. I'm right to be to yourself, to be frustrated, and I'm not dealing them the dirt by moving further in the process.
That's right. I think that's the document, document, document. The next thing I have is, and this is a hard one, I think, especially for the homies that are like me and like are really kind of chatty and gregarious, don't poison the well against the person at the firm or at the organization. Because sometimes people will be like, oh my gosh, you know, you're frustrated, you're venting, but really you are making everyone think that Liz is not a good assistant or Tim is not a good assistant because you're so busy, frustrated, talking it out, working out your feelings and your irritation. And that's not fair to your employees. So no matter how difficult the employee can be, don't trash talk them around the office. This because not only is it unfair to the employee, but it also creates an environment of distrust and it pollutes the environment because then everybody starts feeling like, oh, if I make a mistake, Demetra's going to be out here talking about me like that. That's not really a team environment. No one can really work in an environment where they feel like they can't trust anybody.
And I will say, you know, I got some really good feedback early in my leadership career that I bop around all day and then I come in here like a hurricane. I'm like, I need this, 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 and this, and do this, and then I'm gone. And it made the person, they didn't like that. They didn't like the way they felt like that. And so I said, okay.
I said, okay.
So, but what I took that as really good feedback and I said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you start making a list of things that you need to talk to me about? I'll make a list of things that I need to talk to you about. And then I can just give you the list until we huddle on Friday. And then that way you won't feel overwhelmed. And I've never thought about it from that person's viewpoint because it is like that. I have about 2 to 3 meetings out of the office a day. I might come in for 30 minutes and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So now when I'm in my car, I have a little notepad and I literally, whatever my assistant's name is, I have their name on it and I'll drop that in their chair if they're going to lunch when I happen to come in. Or at the end of the day, they might get that list for me and they get it first thing in the morning. And so then they get to read it. It's like getting a text message versus being in a conversation with someone who thinks quickly on their feet. They get a chance to read it, process it. And so by the time we talk, all the tension has been taken out of it.
Oh, that's interesting. I do something really similar, but different. Similar, but different in that I assign tasks through Outlook. So as things are happening to me during the day, it's almost like you said, like shooting a text message. I will send my assistant or my paralegal or even an associate that's on the matter, I'll send them a task list and it has a due date on it because Outlook has it set up that way. And then what I found is my secretary, thank you, Becky. She has started sending me tasks. So yeah, she'll send me
tasks. She's
like,
to play this game, girl.
Right, but it works because she'll say, like, I see you don't have your time entered. So she'll send me a task that says, like, time entered by 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And then I have to accept the task so she knows I saw it. So then we don't have a million more emails because, as I said in the procrastination episode, send less email to get less email. It's a task. It's on basically my list now of things to get done. And I have given her things. And then she can ask questions or the person can ask questions. But yes, same kind of thing. But instead of a notepad, because I try to be as paperless as possible because I live on the road. So I don't like taking a lot of notes. I try to do almost everything electronically. That is how we communicate back and forth. And that's something that's already built into Outlook. So you don't have to like come up with a system yourself.
My kind of final tip for me is during the Friday huddle, at some point, I always thank my assistant for what I find something positive that we did that week. And I, you know, being a good old fashioned athlete, will high five her. We had a great week. We got this, that, and the other done, or we moved the needle on these deals and I couldn't have done it without you. Now, obviously that's not going to work if you don't sincerely believe that, but I try to pick out whatever it is that she did that week or he did that week to help me be successful, to remind them that we are a team and I value what they do. So it's kind of like our grandmother used to say, good manners never go out of style. Telling somebody thank you for helping me have a good week.
I appreciate you.
And I can tell you this, homies, most of the people we work with,
they're not doing that.
Never tell the support staff thank you for anything.
So as a matter of fact, they actually act like that the support staff didn't have anything to do with the win. So they'll actually act like they went to trial, tried a case, and that the secretary or the assistants had nothing to do with it, even though we all know they were intricately involved in it. You know, it's interesting. I try to do that too, and also be the one who will say to them, like, hey, let me tell you what the verdict was, because I find that people don't even tell people what the result was. Like, we're here, we've been in court all day, you worked on this with us, and nobody told you we won.
We won. Had credit officers who said that. Our credit officers complained about that at the bank because they're not out in front of the clients. And I'll call them back and say, hey, thanks for your help on this. You gave us this price and we won. And I'll never forget one of the credit officers, he had been doing this for 25 years. He said, you know, no one ever does that. Nobody ever circles back to say, I hear it in meetings or I'll hear the RP celebrating a big win. He's thinking like, I approve that. I help structure that. So that's a great, great point.
And then my final tip is manage your own self-talk about the employee. So don't decide. And I have worked with people who've made determinations about me off the bat that I could never get over. So I try to manage my self-talk. Don't just decide, oh, this lady, she's an idiot. This guy's an idiot. He'll never be able to do good work for me. Try to manage that, because if you have convinced yourself, then they won't. I mean, then you've become the person. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've already told yourself, you know, hey, they can't do anything. So you have to sort of change that and start thinking like, hey, good managers, you know, sort of take a fair stance and make sure that they are saying things to themselves that are accurate. I'm not saying like go in there and say he's a great employee when he's not, but say like there's still time. We're still early in this game. He could still turn this around. She could still turn this around. I've given her some feedback. I'm really looking forward to see next quarter how it turns out.
I actually had somebody call me about 2 months ago about a banker that used to work for me 8 years ago. And what I said to him is, I don't know that my feedback would be really helpful, because I know that I'm a much better banker today than I was 8 years ago. I would imagine that John is as well. And I would say the same thing about your assistant. We have a lot of tips where we talk about turning things around tomorrow. And once you start to see that consistent feedback from people, give them the opportunity. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new game. It's the playoffs. Give them a chance to show what they can do.
That's right. We love episodes that are born out of the comments from the homies. Please continue to give us some feedback. Let us know if you're having trouble with a difficult employee and if these tips helped you. And I would even be curious if you have been branded a difficult employee and any of these tips help you. Please reach out. We are Corporate Homie, HOMIE, on all social media platforms. Of course, if you have a topic that you would like addressed or you want something specific that you'd like to discuss in your own personal situation, shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com so that we can get back to you on the topic.
And please, if you are enjoying the podcast, feel free to drop us a review. We are learning that that is the currency of podcasts. We thank you so much for listening to us. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies. All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.